Blog Talk Radio.
By the way you look at me, I truly do believe something is worrying your troubled mind. There is something on your mind.
Frank?
Frank sent us.
Did you bring a horse for me?
Well, looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Feeling what I'm feeling. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Soul Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingham, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it's good to have you in the house. Soul Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin and the Black Athlete Sports Network. You know, all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. I got Radio Reggie online with me right now. Reggie, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm on the road, so I hope you can.
Okay.
I'm coming in, okay.
And the bad man from the East Bay, Johnny Knows Great. Can you hear me, G?
Yes, sir. I got you.
Mr. B's rolling in on the sixes. Give him room. Give him room. He's ready to
do it. All right, gentlemen. Now, normally the Liars Club convenes once a year at the NFL draft. But we know now that tomorrow a special edition of the Liars Club will convene in Washington, D.C. as life will imitate art. Now, we all have our fun with the movie New Jack City. And the scene where Neil Brown confronts his disciples. Don't nobody know nothing? Yeah. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody knew
Mike,
nothing.
Mike, excuse me, Mike. I got to take this one, Mike. Don't nobody know nothing? Don't nobody
That's
know
right.
nothing?
That's right.
I don't see it. $5 billion I got in rubble. I never liked you anymore, you pretty motherfucker.
There you go. Well, you know,
actually, I was talking about the defense coordinator of the Washington General, Jack Donald Trump Del Rio. I know you guys heard about the latest happening.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, Jack Del Rio decided that he's going to go ahead and drop some tweet that said that Gary, you know about the Gary?
Yes, you do. Yes, I do.
Go ahead, bring it, G. Go ahead, Gary. Tell him. Bring it, G.
Okay. Daniel Rio. Nobody was listening to it. And he said, February 6th, upright.
sometimes go too far when some of their talking heads write their checks on their ass. Brian Mitchell is not one of these guys. He's been in the league a long time. He knows his stuff, and he leaves well enough alone.
Could you just turn down your radio? Because I think that was bleeding over.
Oh, shit. Sorry about that.
Hey, you shit no. Indeed. Thank you.
Is that better? Still coming over. It's still...
Hold on. I'll take care of it. Hold on. Is it still coming off?
I don't know. It feels like somebody...
still coming off?
Feels like someone's playing something that's like romper room in the background.
Oh no, I turned the radio off. Like I said, I'm on the road. Oh, I turned it off.
Okay.
As a truck, man.
Oh,
No problem. Okay. Go ahead.
But, yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
No worries. And like I said, you know, sports stations, or I should say sport talk stations, sometimes have their talking heads go too far. You know, Brian Mitchell does not have that reputation. He's always been a straight-up personality. He always speaks facts, and he's always accountable for what he says. So for him to go this far, somebody really had to push a button, and Jack Del Rio does sound the type.
And look, you can't get much more Klan conservative than the coaches and owners of the NFL, and it's right down to the major media as well, because they were the ones that allowed the manipulation of the lie of what Colin Kaepernick was protesting.
Of course,
he made it very clear the day he started it what it was all about, and then eventually it became he was a cop killer, and he was anti-military, and people wrote that lie, and folks allowed that lie to run, and hold on, Gary. It's the Peter Kings. It's the guy from Seattle who passed away a few years ago. All of these prominent white writers. They could have nipped it in the bud. They could have nipped that in the bud day one, but they allowed that to play out. And see, it's not stopping because I'm going to be not too much careful when I say this, but I think it needs to be said. Now that you have this running story with Deshaun Watson now in regards to now. 66 women that allegedly.
Well, it's
66 that I last 52. Remember. But the thing is, this story has been allowed to fester all this time. It's not just all year, Gary. This has been going on for almost 2.5 years now. And the thing is, someone knows what the real story is, but they're letting it out piece by piece. We've seen this sort of media manipulation. My only thing is, if he's guilty and he did all of this, send his. If he's done half the stuff that he's been accused of, send his ass to jail. But the fact that they're literally allowing the court of unpopular opinion. No, it's not even that's another lie in itself. It's not public opinion because everybody believes that he's done this.
Yeah.
What's the thing that they used to say with Hitler? If you yell the lie loud enough and long enough, people start to believe it. That's basically what's going on. No one's exonerating him. But let all of the truth come out, because the fact that this keeps coming out like it is, a little bit here, a little bit here, and it's no coincidence that after he signed his big contract, all of a sudden, now
correction, he signed his big guaranteed contract.
exactly. And therein, what they'll always do is they'll preface it by saying Deshaun Watson, $1 million quarterback. You know, and it's like, the hell does that have to do with it? But see, again, when you're talking about how the manipulation works. That's what's going on here. And see, it's always, you know, the two older sports like baseball and football where you have vested guys from back in the day that hold grudges
mm-hmm.
and will know how to manipulate. And see, it's more sophisticated. I don't even want to say it's more sophisticated now, but see, now they have even more pockets to hide in with the internet now.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, this story changed once again because today I read this morning, the defenders now are going to go after the Houston Texans and the National Football League.
Well,
now, I want to see what the National Football League is going to say now, because...
Well, no, what they'll do is they'll make an example. They're going to make Watson be the fakacy again. They don't really want to solve it. They just want to put a face to it. Again, it's like the baseball steroid thing. They didn't want to solve it. They just wanted to make sure they put a face to it. And if they could put a non-white face to it, all the more better.
Don't think in Cleveland they're not thinking that, and don't think that a certain backup quarterback isn't thinking that as well. I would not be surprised if they still show his commercials.
Well, Mike, it's interesting you say that because today he was excused for not showing up at OTAs.
The backup quarterback was requested to come do the video early today.
Well,
something's up. Something
happened between 24 and 66. I mean, nobody said nothing, and then all of a sudden you got 66 women. I mean, come on, give me a break. You know, the word is out. We gave this Negro too much money. You know, they don't know what to do. They'll buy Cadillacs and wild women and all kinds of stuff.
And as a surgeon, former coach of the Lakers, they have a posse, Mr. former New York Knicks.
No question.
If Derek Fisher could coach as well as he likes to fuck, he probably would be a Hall of Famer. But
you
I digress.
Ain't shit. Well, you know, I'm telling you, no joke. I have to include that at the half hour, my favorite little sister Jennifer Thibodeau Bork will be in, talk a little horse, and take the Belmont Stakes very quickly, and then we will carry on with the Meeting of the Liars Club. And the fact that you know what they're going to say tomorrow, that nobody don't know nothing.
Hey, Mike, I just want to say something. Cheryl's kind of been on my mind, and I just want to give love to the ancestor, and she's made a transition.
Shay.
How long has it been, what, 3 or 4 months now? How long has it been since Cheryl made a transition?
That's right.
I just thought about the show today, and I thought about it, and I just said she'll be going off right now with what's going on.
Cheryl'll be having fun with this. She would. She would. And we know how she is with her little sexy southern look. She would give him hell. But having said that, we already know a bunch of motherfuckers are going to lie. Yes. Did you try to overthrow the country? No. Did you send your son-in-law to see if Saudi Arabia would endorse the new government? No. You know, they won't even ask that question, but that's one question they should get to. Now, when the guy came out and said he should be fired, all of a sudden, he don't know nothing. All this is a bunch of fucking bullshit.
This is what bothered me about Washington, D.C. You have three mass murders in a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there telling me you can't pass legislation to curb this carnage?
Yeah,
and
Carnegie.
The reason why they can't do it is because dollar signs are reading their heads. The NRA, the NRA is the corruption of this country.
This is bullshit. Well, listen, you may as well tell the truth. They've been honestly trying to find a way to kill as many black people as possible. As far as Washington, D.C.
That may be true, but what I'm saying is, if you are a democracy, if you are a sovereign nation, you cannot prevent this happening.
And we are neither, so.
That's right. We are neither.
This country is neither.
You're talking about a city that was forced to change its name from the Washington Bullets because they were killing people. Now that's unadulterated bullshit because they thought it would change and make everybody safer. And of course it didn't, but they went from Baltimore Bullets to Washington Bullets to the Washington Nationals or Capitals or whatever you want to call
Wizards.
It, whatever it was,
with,
didn't change
the
people.
The wizards.
They still fucking dying out there, and they're still fucking lying out there. So to have this shit show come up in front of us, the French have a word for it: "Les clusterfuck." That's exactly what it's going to be, and in prime time, we'll be privy to some of this stuff. But the bottom line is, nobody wants to admit that the country was almost overthrown. And I say almost because it wouldn't fit the American image. We're the ones who are supposed to be different. Oh, we did it different, blah, blah, blah. We're the great experiment, blah, blase, blah, blah. We know that's horseshit.
But Michael, can I just to add to that,
please.
I see, you know, for all the whatever, in regards to how we're supposed to be better and all this other stuff was supposed to be different and how they always push the whole taxation without representation crap. But see, Here's the thing. Here I am flipping around on the dial on TV this week, and they're going on and on about the Queen's Silver Jubilee or whatever the hell it is. It's like, now, This is, you know, look, a tyrant is a tyrant, whether they have a dick or not. And she's a fucking tyrant. But they want to play the whole taxation without representation and, you know, give me liberty or give me Iowa or whatever
more
the hell they try to push on folks.
The little grandkid is still throwing a temper tantrum.
But the thing is, they're still, you know, they still worship at her feet. And I'm like, what is all of this shit?
Yeah, exactly.
When they make such a big thing about the royal weddings and, oh, my God, there's a black person in the royal family now and we're supposed
exactly.
to. And it's like,
yeah.
I commend what Lady Di was able to do, because Lady Di actually had a pair, probably more than her husband and the whole English colony in inside. But even with that being said, we still there's still a lot of folks that idol worship these folks,
that's right.
The Queen and all this other stuff.
Stop the shit. You know, fuck the Queen and her tight ass bullshit. She got Diana killed because she was going to be their brother and had that black baby. And, Art Butkins, clutch the pearls. Never mind all that shit.
I identify with Benny Hill a hell of a lot more than I do the Queen, and he's a hell of a lot funnier.
Thank you. So do I. And having said that, we got the professor in the mix, and We have our horse race specialist, our bloodline specialist, my beautiful little sister, who just had a birthday. Everybody say happy birthday to Jenny. Yay.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jenny.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jess.
And we promise, and we promise we won't ask what number, so you won't get upset. So.
Honey, it don't bother me at all. I survived it to the top of the hill, and now I'm on the way down.
Hey, Lisa, you're still on the hill. You're still on the hill. That's the most important thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm still close to the top of the hill, but I'm on the far side now.
There you go. There you go.
Before we start talking Haas, what's your vibe on Her Majesty?
What's her bloodline?
All I gotta say is my grandfather fought in World War II. He was an interpreter, the whole nine yards. He was on the field, and he took a landmine. Survived, came on home, had a Purple Heart, the whole nine yards. The fact that that little bitty woman was running jeeps and busting ass, she may not be perfect, but that part, no, that's a good part. On that's a good mark for me. Outside of everything else, I don't mess with that. Royalty is above my station, and I don't give a damn what they do as long as they leave me alone.
I know that's right. Now, having said that, sis, the Belmont Station coming up Saturday, we're in the oddest of situations. We have the Kentucky Derby winner who showed up just for this race. And 6 weeks ago, he topped the tote board at 82-1. He is now 7-2. And of the eight horses in the field, Rich Strike comes back into the mix with Sonny Leon, a jockey who has never really had a big reputation because he was playing at pretty much some of the B tracks in Ohio. Now, the race was run. We saw the replay. He got there first before all the other horses. But, and I do say but, did we just miss out on the biggest scam that we've seen in horse racing as of late?
It's possible. It's highly possible. I've never seen the like in my life. I've never seen that happen, and I hope we never see it happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. Because I'm still old school. If you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. If you don't run in the first one, you shouldn't be running in the last one.
Right.
Absolutely.
That skipping class, it don't sit well with me. Because to me, this is testing the heart, the speed, and endurance of these animals for breeding
yeah.
rights as well as bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
You can't brag when you've only run in one race.
True.
But it also screws it up for everybody else because you come in fresh when others have been running all three of the races.
That is also true. Now, we have a different situation here because we have a course situation. We know a year ago the Belmont was changed to a mile and a quarter, and now it's back to its mile and a half. Now, a mile and a half is a long race, distance-wise. But the track in which it's on is even more important because Belmont Racecourse has the longest back stretch of any racetrack in North America. And
yep.
if you get a closer, this is the place to have it. We have a closer. We have a closer in a horse named Skippy Longstocking. Now, the name might be long and the odds might be long, but I think this horse has a chance. Ended up fifth a couple of times, and now it's closing style, maybe just right for the Belmont because the horse ran fifth in the Preakness and was only at a mile and a 16th. This is clearly a horse that needs more ground. And with the possibility of rain, sis, it may be the horse for the cause.
Yep. Most definitely. And, I mean, when you look at his race record, it's not shabby. Now, clearly it's not the race record or the earnings of Rich Strike, but he's
right.
no worse off than any of the others in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, 200,000 seems to be about, you know, the average. You got 1.9 million with Rich Strike. You know, 700,000 with Mo Donegal. Barbara Road at 650,000. So, I mean, it's not, you know, you got one over here with 322,000, one with 159,000.
Mm-hmm.
So his cases aren't any worse than anyone else's.
May make
and
for a more
if he is the long-distance runner, then he stands a better chance than the others do. He'll have the edge.
That's what I'm thinking, because that back stretch at Belmont is like a racing straightaway. I mean, you got a horsey version of a drag strip, and if you get the right horse with the right momentum, they can ease on by. And he had a lot of ground. You saw Victory Gallop do that in a recent Belmont and catch him and beat a horse and steal his Triple Crown ambitions. So we know the distance is addition, and we also know in these so-called racing champions, you got to have endurance. And all the eight horses here, I really can't see a clear favorite. Does anyone have any questions for Jen?
Well, just to piggyback on the weather, now they're saying possible rain for Saturday now?
Yes. They're talking rain. And there's a very good possibility that the track will be sloppy by post time. So that pushes up the out time.
There's quite a few horses that they'll love to run in the rain, but there's others that cannot stand it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to change the race.
If it's a horse that doesn't like being in the rain, they could be in the first position, and if it starts raining on them, come in dead last. It'll make them pull up. There's some of them that don't mind the rain as long as they're running out front and not getting peppered with mud.
Yeah.
But if there's a lot of them where if they don't like the rain, if they're getting peppered with mud, they'll pretty much just quit you.
That's another thing. Just like being on the highway. Somebody's driving in front of you in a deluge. You catching that shit on your windshield. You're going to slow down or nothing else. You're going to try to back the hell up off of it. So you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them may not like it at all.
Rain can always be a game changer. It is no joke. If I was a jockey, I don't know if I'd want to be in the middle of the pack around a mile and a half getting smacked in the face with mud and other seasonings, so to speak. That would not strike me as a fun place to be, because those goggles only cover your eyes. They don't cover your mouth.
Yeah.
Too bad.
They're not gonna lace it with Skippy on the night before, just in case.
Yeah. You
want
to know. They're saying it's looking like a 70% chance of rain on Saturday, mainly in the afternoon.
Oh.
Now the temps are only going to be 73, so that's not going to be a problem.
Okay. What time's the time to go off? Like a seven around seven ish.
Around 6:30. Around 6:30, quarter to seven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay.
By 7 o'clock, everybody will know what's going on. Which peeps our strategy. Our strategy in this particular race is to go with Skippy Longstocking. Now, because nobody won two races out of the Triple Crown, the betting will be different. They will try to get every dime they can, which means that they will institute the 10-cent superfecta, which is the long shot player's best friend. Because of that, we're going to take Skippy, who's my sister's nickname, God bless her, and we're going to see what Skippy can do. At 20-1 on the morning line, Skippy should probably be about 25-1 by the time they reach folks. Now, the superfecta, you have to run first, second, third, fourth in order to hit it. We are saying that Skippy will end up no worse than fourth. And we're going to wheel every bet to make sure that she's there. So if Skippy is fourth or better, we win, and Jenny, you can take the girls to a movie. So we're going to see what we can do by making a couple bucks. And
how's it say? Something to salvage the season.
Now this is a small this is a small field for Saturday too, right?
Yes.
It's an eight horse field. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yep. And normally
that would only take up one part of the Kentucky Derby.
Exactly. Well, you know, they talk about attrition.
Fair.
Yeah,
wow.
They talk about attrition, but this is definitely attrition. We went from 20 horses in the Derby to 8 in the Belmont. Now, normally, if somebody hasn't won both of those races, there are less horses anyway. But 8
yep.
horses in the Belmont, that's as close a field to somebody actually having an outside chance as any.
Yeah.
Although Justified, he was a Triple Crown winner and won his race
yes.
when the opportunity came. And so did American Pharoah. So the fact that there's not a Triple Crown winner hurts the industry a little, but how do you go from 82-1 to 7-2? We know, just like in the Derby, that's a lot of money that came in to decide that this horse
yeah.
is going to be a favorite.
Oh, yeah, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm. Professor, you got any horse sense to ask Jenny about this race? Hey, good evening.
Actually, no. I've been listening to all that crap about the bloodline of a queen and them weird looking grandsons. So I don't want to get anything important mixed up with that, like that, like in these horses. Because I'm still trying to understand all this nonsense about the queen and what she did and what she didn't do and why she's, I mean, the lady's 90 or 100 years old. No, she can't get out there in the sun and do all the stuff she's been doing. So what's the big deal? But anyway, since we're talking about horses, you know, I'm still trying to learn that. I'm still trying to understand the 82-1. And you get planted in, correction, you get inserted into the race the day before. And after some horse mysteriously drops out, and then at the end of the day, you go from all the way outside.
Mm-hmm. That's all the way outside.
You have two horses who mysteriously leave a great big gap on the rail for you to run through, and they just let you run through it. It ain't made no sense to me yet.
Don't feel bad. You're not alone.
And
picked me up a distinctive odor, and it's not horses.
We're talking about the queen. We're talking about the queen again.
Well, you know, Jenny, Professor brings up a good point. I remember a recent Derby when Mind That Bird hit the board at 50-1. And Calvin Borrell came up the rail and literally just swooped by everybody and got to the finish line first.
Yep.
Is there a particularly dangerous aspect about the rail? Yes.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Borrell was well known for being able to spot a gap from
yeah.
way at the back. And he
yes.
had the talent to get in those gaps, utilize them, and make you choke on them.
And he came from the back. He came from 13th and
yep.
swooped up the rail and won the race. I mean,
yep.
I was the damnedest
no
thing I ever saw. Mm-hmm.
He was no joke.
That also shows
he produced.
That also shows some serious balls, because
yes.
it's not something anybody would do. And there's a lot of jockeys that would avoid the rail at all costs. So
yeah, and you have to know your horse. You know, can you push the button and can he get through quick enough? Burrell had a talent where he knew his animal better than anyone else, and he knew how to push that button and zip on through. Now, would I have tried it? Oh, hell no. Because a crash at those speeds, with and back in his day, there were no pads of any kind.
That's right.
When you hit, that was it. You were going down, and it was going to get ugly. And it was going to be, are you going to live or are you going to die? Because you're talking about speeds in excess of 45 miles an hour. You know, your horse is weighing in excess of 1,100 pounds each.
Yep, that's a lot of horsepower.
That's connect.
You're literally memorizing your insurance card number as you're going through the thing.
Yeah, about that. That's right. Jenny, we got another horse.
And escape it.
Jenny, we got another horse in the race, Barbara Road. We got another horse in the race, Barbara Road, that ran the Derby and ran a respectable fifth out of those 20-odd horses. I have a feeling it's going to be in the mix. Right now, I'm looking at 2-8 as a possible exacta. And if Rich Strike really is the horse he says he is, you can slip him in there for third. So right now, I'm thinking 2-4-8, and maybe Creative Minister, who is the 5 horse. He's the gray horsey.
Yeah.
Throw him in there, and I think that'd be a superfecta block. So we say what we play here. So if these numbers come through, the motherfucker that you'll be hearing screaming, that will be me.
Michael, what are they going to be screaming about me? They let this horse run, a month and a half ago. And nobody schooled at all. And you're talking about screwed up. And no more than I know about racing, I know how far they went with these young ladies, the young lady who with all the colors of hair going into the Olympics, USCA championships. They raised all that hell about her. Or something that's actually supposed to be legal, except for that particular race. So, you know, I am perplexed.
Yeah. Perplexed is a nice word.
Even for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It gets that way even for us. But I say you take this to the bank. Skippy and Manny Franco, who will be the jockey, will somehow get us paid. And again, if you hear somebody screaming from South Jersey, you know it's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got any more questions for Jenny?
I'm good.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for then. Sis, we got to hook up.
Gentlemen, y'all enjoy your weekend. And
I owe you a piece of birthday cake.
Come in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, hey, I tell you what, if that horse does come in, I got a special birthday present for you and the girls. So, by all means, give them my love. Everybody,
always
take
brother.
Care. Be safe. And I'll talk
you
to you later,
y'all.
Sweetheart. All right, now.
Okay. Take care, now.
All right. Jennifer Thibodeau Bork, our horse race bloodline specialist. Checking things out. And we are still here. Debating the efforts of the Liars Club, who will convene tomorrow in court and talk about the so-called coup that didn't happen. Now, don't nobody know nothing, but that's okay. We know nobody know nothing. Now, what are they going to do? Start with the excuses. We've heard the excuses already. What's the difference when we hear them in court? I mean,
well, put it
how
this
can
way.
Alter a lot?
Put it this way. If you're thinking this is going to be this generation's Watergate hearings, you may as well just watch this. You may as well just watch whatever soap operas are left on TV right now, because
no shit.
You'll probably get more. you'll probably get more substance out of that than you will with some of these folks, you know, because.
But what,
you know,
what are they gonna say? I already know.
They say that they have all these different folks and a bunch of rats who are willing to eat the cheese. Nothing personal to my security team here at my table. But having said that, even rats have ethics. You know, rats only defend themselves when somebody fucks with them. And we know that there will be some people fucking with other folks. Now, Jim Jordan and Meadows or whoever else is in there, they're all guilty as fucking sin. So how is the mainstream media going to clean up their bullshit and make it seem like we didn't do anything? That's the question. It's not even a who, what, when, where, why. It's a methodology question. How?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to go about doing it?
Well, I would suggest if you're going to watch this tomorrow, stay away from ABC. Stay away from CBS. Stay away from NBC. I don't have to tell you to stay away from Fox and CNN. That's a given. If you're gonna watch this, if you're gonna watch this and try to get some substance out of it, I would say watch it on C-SPAN. Because they'll probably give it to you. Probably. Yeah. Well, and see, that's my point. Because see, they want us to. Because with C-SPAN, there is no agenda. They just put it out there. You know, they're not, you know, they're just going to, they'll do it probably, knowing them, they'll probably do it gavel to gavel and probably replay some of it at night or what have you. But you're not going to have somebody that's going to treat it like, the Fox pregame show on the NFL pregame show. It's going to be just, it's just going to, do they still, I guess they still do. They still have that little guy on in the morning taking calls, I guess, and he'll probably.
I think they do. I think they do. But you know
they'll
what? I'd rather watch that than watch Joe Namath for J.J. Walker saying, "Hi, it's me," and if you dial this number, you can get money. Yeah, I'll just have to smack the shit out of his black ass. Oh. I can't stand that commercial.
Hey, brother's got to eat. Him and Joe got to eat.
I know.
But put it this way, I'd feel better if they both had at least two or three shovels in their hand while they're talking to us. Consider all the bullshit that they're going to be that they're pushing. And of course you get an obligatory dynamite. Jimmy Walker.
I like to stick some dynamite up his ass.
Well, put it this way: this is a bigger fraud than pushing him as the welterweight boxing champion of the world.
Whitney Farnsworth. Yeah. Oh my God.
40th Second Street Black. All I will say is 40th Second Street Black got home.
Black. Oh fuck yeah. Oh.
Mike, forgive me. So does that mean his brother is Fifth Avenue white, I guess?
Yeah, right. Seventh Avenue blue, some shit like that.
I got Della Reese on line two. It's my black entire ass.
That's right. You know what?
And even that would be more entertaining than this thing for tomorrow.
Della would provide much more truth than what we're going to hear there. You know what? That really does ring truthful. I got to say, Della, what do you say about this all shit? We need to get some info.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll get back at you. The same gentleman that's made the pickup last year is going to make it this year, Mr. Richie Vinto. Vera, I want you to put somebody on him.
All right, sugar.
You got a girl who can turn him out?
I have got a girl whose pussy is so good, if you threw it up in the air, it would turn into sunshine.
Love, 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 love.
Well, I don't want to meet her.
I do.
Richie.
You can even find it.
I think I'm falling in love with you.
Grab the phone, grab the phone, grab the phone.
Here come the tears, here come the tears. Here come the tears. Sunshine, oh my God.
There we go.
I got to hear him get home.
Yeah, give me Hollycourt. It's 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, it, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
And Mike, what makes that even more heartbreaking is that he called her Collect. That's
and called the Collect, too. Oh, by the way.
We have a representative from Her Majesty's office complaining about our recent statements about her.
Presenting His Most Royal Majesty, the King.
God, my head hurts.
The King! Your Majesty. Sheriff of Nottingham, in gratitude for your faithful service, most gracious Majesty. In name of my most royal Majesty, I knight thee. Arise, sirloin of beef. Arise, Earl of Clothes. Arise, Duke of Brittingham. Arise, Baron of Munchausen. Arise, Essence of Mirror. Nidesia, Warren of Ten.
I'm so jealous of you guys. I got a headache.
You are
jealous.
Too kind, Your Majesty.
London Bridge is falling down.
London Bridge is falling down. Falling down, falling down.
That's a damn shame. I can remember this, but I can't remember my address. That's a damn shame.
London Bridge
Now, Mike, the million-dollar question is, did Milk of Magnesia ever sue Warner Brothers because of that? That's some stuff there when you really think about it.
And, you know, they could walk a legal line with that. They definitely could.
Yeah.
And I'm sure sirloin of beef would have a problem with that. But...
Do I guess all vegans have boycotted that cartoon because it mentions beef?
How about that? Now, the fact that Fox News is not going to present any of the programming, is that a surprise to you?
Oh, no, not at all. What they're going to do is they're going to edit out certain parts. They're going to turn it into, you know, something that they can. That first of all, they have to digest it
right.
for their followers, so they can understand. You're going to have to do
right.
the Fox News to English translation.
They have to get the crowns out and the coloring book so they can understand it.
Censorship is not dead. It's just done more on a higher level, I guess.
It's true. Yeah, I think you're right.
Fucker Carson is going to be trying to get his coloring book out, and the other guy, Colin, whatever the fuck his name is, just to ease me in. That
well, you know what. Reggie, here's one for you, because I'm thinking about this. They kept this on quiet, and obviously they didn't get the outcome that we had hoped for, but Coco Gruff stepped up, and in our first finals, she did not win, but she got there. So the Williams women legacy has begun in earnest, because Coco came out of nowhere and played some really good tennis and got to the final of the French Open. Now,
and don't forget, you know, Mike, Coco's for her troubles, she cashed $1 million check.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not bad for a second,
but you know, Coco seemed more serious than some of the others. Like Sloane Stephens, mm-hmm. I was never really a fan of. Madison Keys always was, like, she was an underachiever, in my opinion. But Coco came in hardcore, and, of course, Naomi came in hardcore. So the two of them, they play similar, and they play very well. Now, I feel for
how
Naomi
they do the
because
doubles?
I'm
like,
not
you
sure.
You know how they did the doubles? That's one more
no,
pocket.
I don't know. Gary,
so I think they was in the finals of the double.
They were. Gary, how did they do in the double?
They lost.
They lost? Okay.
What round did they lose?
The championship round.
Oh, they did get to the championship. Wow. So she did.
Well, see, like I said,
she probably said about $2 million.
And Mike, here's to again the legacy of the Williams sisters, because see now, you know, now look, they're never going to pay them the same amount that they pay the men, but
thank you.
It's a hell of a lot. But that being said, it's still a hell of a lot more than what they were making. Even
thank you, Serena. Thank you, Venus. Cha-ching. That's
thank
exactly
you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe more so. Put it this way, I'm willing to bet you that Coco probably earned more losing in this Open than Billie Jean got in her much heralded matchup with Bobby Riggs.
And that shows you
just how far things
have gone. Probably cost more to put it on than what she took on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, and see, even back then, I mean, that was, you know, I think. The thing about it is, 1973. I don't even think Riggs may have made as much Coco may have done.
But Riggs took enough vitamins to cover the cost. All the vitamins he was taking.
Oh, well, look, drugs during the match. Put it this way. The people who are in pharma, their kids are still being fed off of that stuff. Let's just put
that's
it
right.
that way.
Mm-hmm. Unreal.
No doubt about it.
And Papa still doing a match. On TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know,
that was his regiment.
Oh, well, that was his quote-unquote regiment. You know, that was his thing.
But you know what? The status of King Richard, notwithstanding, the Williams women will never get the credit they truly deserve. They won't appreciate just how great they were, especially
in
doubles. Our
dad never got his justice.
That's right. You know, they beat four times the number one doubles team while they were unranked, you know. And then they had the nerve to say, well, we can't rank them because we haven't played enough people yet. I mean, kiss my ass and Macy's window. What are you trying to say here?
Yeah. And all they did was just consistently beat the top doubles.
Yeah.
Think about it. When the Patriots went undefeated in the regular season, nobody said that. Well, they didn't play nobody, so it doesn't count. But let the Williams sisters basically beat number one, number two, number three, number four, and number five, and it'd be like, well, I really can't judge how good they really are. Okay.
But they really don't want to say it. We don't want those black bitches to win anything. And what I really like about this is that
that's true.
When Serena wins and does a little crit walk, she's like, yeah, y'all know I'm bad. When Venus wins, she says, I'm graceful, but you know I'm still bad. And when Coco wins, she's like, yeah, I'm vibing off Venus and Serena. Y'all know I'm bad. And when Naomi was, Naomi's like, I'm being very polite because I was raised that way. But you know I'm bad and I'm ripping that ass too. So,
Did you know now that she has her own marketing? Naomi opened up her own marketing firm about, couple months or so ago. So the thing is, she's not going to burn out like a lot of these kids. Because see, with all due respect to Allison Keys, Dr. J's daughter, as well. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's weird, and I hate to say this, but Coco came in with more savvy as a 15, 16-year-old than we
did.
It's kind of sad.
Real quick, it was a certain former ESPN reporter, Ms. Taylor, that was told, I already got the job because you're black. Well, guess what? That beautiful black woman doing more sports and more visible now than anything ESPN did. You're doing a good job.
Think about it. Since she left, she's done the Olympics. Super Bowl. Major golf. She's doing major stuff. And
will be the face of the NFL Sunday Night Football.
Well, hey, fine with me. Fine with me. I mean, I don't do the pre and post game shows. With all due respect to Reverend Dungy and the Hatchet Man, Mr. Harrison. Yeah.
Reverend Dungy.
He's about as close as you can get. You know, I say that with love, not to disparage him. But yeah.
True.
I mean, look. To quote that great philosopher Riley Freeman from the Boondocks, game recognizes game, Granddad.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Hello. Riley spoke the truth. Yes, he did. Game recognizes game. And
yes, sir.
That brings up another question. And you know, I think we go to the intellectual for this one. So, Professor, in all honesty, do you find that our athletes are getting smarter and more knowledgeable as this sports entertainment that you talk about carries on?
Overall, yes. It boils down to something that I tell when I speak. One of the things I always tell them. My mother told me when I was 3 and a half years old, baby, if you learn to read, you can go around the world without leaving the room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know that. I was a little more, I was less than 4 years old, but let's be honest, it went over my head for years. But little things like reading instructions, you know, and as men, we know how good we read instructions just before we throw away all the paper. Okay?
You're not supposed to say that out loud, Fred. But continue.
One of the things I was telling myself, what about LeBron? LeBron was different because LeBron is one of the few who got a friend of his to be one of his managers to help manage his affairs.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
True.
But unlike most of the ones who did like that, you know, Ray Ray couldn't hardly read Ray Ray in a lot of those cases. And I'm familiar with several of them. You go into college, you're going to get the guy you're going to get to run your business affairs is a guy who don't even visit you on campus, okay? No.
Right.
And along the way, LeBron, this young man that's LeBron's manager, has gone with him to talk to all the different people who can help him. He's had him reading books and taking classes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's something that most of them don't do.
That is
and
true.
And because of that,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, you know, and see, when you consider, and we talk about smart, we can all agree that Kareem is one of the smartest people we've ever seen who broke a sweat.
Absolutely.
Okay, how you calculate it. But at the same mm-hmm. time, he got taken. Okay? So it's not all smart is a relative term in a lot of cases,
right.
But it's going beyond smart. Because like I used to tell Terry Long, Terry, you need to take some business class because when you start making money, you need to be able to watch the people who will be watching your money. You need to watch them.
Well,
and sure enough, that's what he did.
Let me put it this way. I don't mean smarter as much as I mean more worldly, more well-rounded, more able to understand the difference between shit and shinola and how to be able to translate that to business and survive and in some cases thrive, because we all know that LeBron James is, stay with me, the cash cow.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Mike. Because, see, so many times these guys are just, you know, where we used to see it would be Reggie is out there trying to be whatever sport he's good at. But he's I'm just a football player. I'm just a basketball player. I don't get involved in politics. When you look at LeBron and some of these other guys out there in today's environment, when you know you had Jim Brown, you had Bill Russell, and several others back in the day, right? Remember how they stood behind Ali and all that kind of good stuff. Okay, but in those days, most of the average, well, more than the average players who were not making nearly as much money as they make now, but very few of them had the cojones to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. We're going to stand with our brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's his business.
No, right about
business
that.
To leave him alone. Mm-hmm. And see, they're now more people out there who are wise to the world, shall we say. And see, the other thing is, in today's environment, ain't no excuse. You got a phone.
That's
you got
true.
A phone. My quote unquote smartphone has more memory than my first four computers.
That's right.
You know, I couldn't type letters. I couldn't type letters on my. You had to type letters. You had to put the. I think I started with
that's
a 5.25.
Point.
And then I put in the 3.5 disc. I'm downloading some pictures right now. I got a flash drive that's bigger than my first two computers. I got a call a few months ago from this guy who has played in the NBA, and he's playing overseas right now. And I said, being wise is using what you know and what you can learn. Being smart is learning how to go out and find that kind of information that you need. And I said,
I agree.
Back in the day, we thought it was a big deal to read comic books. And that was how we learned science and math and that kind of stuff, right? But now, if you got a 3-year-old in today's environment, you got a 3 or 4-year-old, and you can't function with your phone, hand it to them. They will make it fly, and they will make it fly and do what it is.
It's true. It's true. They are definitely more tech savvy. I got D. Orlando Ledbetter with me as well online. D, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. First of all, how are the brothers doing tonight?
All good. Doing
good.
All good.
Good.
Right. And before you.
Go ahead, Orlando. Did we lose Orlando?
Damn, Orlando, Danger.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
I didn't lose you. Hang on. No, I hit the pause button. I said I wanted to send a shout out to the professor because he gave me some insights and I got that contract. So thank you, professor.
Right on.
No problem.
Hey, no problem whatsoever. I got to be loud. You can give me a sense.
I use your words as you gave both universities just in a subtle conversation, and they were like, "Wow, okay, you know your thing." So, and not only did I get the sponsorship for that tournament, they asked me to send them numbers for the football season.
Isn't it crazy? We're only a month away from the first media day. Slack already put out their media day for next month. It's almost time again.
We're less than 100 days before the first game.
Yeah. Hell, the CFL starts tomorrow night. I didn't even realize it until I stumbled on it.
Well, they need to get in before that weather, that hawk comes back up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
you know
they're paying attention because somebody somewhere is doing accounting. My man Tony always says there's a payroll that must be met. So you better believe someone's trying to find a way to increase the payroll. Now, how they do it, again, it's all methodology, is how that's going to be the important thing as these next few weeks carry on. But we've seen a lot of stuff happen, and now that camps are starting and the Canadian League will start in a couple of days, there's going to be a lot of brothers working. That's the difference. The big difference between slinging for $5,000 a game and working with a contract that's going to pay you $650,000 a season. So just one of those stay tuned moments.
And Mike, they also are. When I saw the first ad from the CFL, they've already got their own Canadian equivalents of FanDuel and DraftKings and all the other stuff. So now they have a sister from Saskatchewan that tells them to make it rain. So it's you know how that goes.
That's right. You know, I said years ago that it's probably easy to fix a CFL playoff game because the officials up there don't make no money. You know, if you're in a playoff game as an official, you're getting maybe $1,000-$1,500 a game. And we know in the NFL, the officials making $200,000 a season. So
they make
working money. I'm not trying to instigate anything.
Mike, I don't mind when you say stuff like that, but your nose is poking me in my butt when you say that.
I'm not trying to instigate anything. You know, it is clear that with everything going on in gambling today, now that the CFL caught up with DraftKings and FanDuel, there can be no greater fertile ground for scumbaggery, skullduggery, dumb fuckery, and assholery. So
Mike, are all of them brothers or cousins? That's the question I'm trying to understand.
They're definitely all related.
I'm thinking that too.
And while I bring up the subject, we must go back to the second yearly meeting of the Lions Club that will begin tomorrow, because we know for a fact how many times they'll plead the Fifth Amendment or they'll talk about self-incrimination, or they'll try to give you executive privilege. I got your privilege right here, you low life after birth motherfuckers. Ladies and gentlemen, if it please the motherfucking court, I am here to state for the record that these fuckers, before they even put their hands on the Bible, are lying their asses off. And I charge every one of them with felonious cocksucking in an attempt to swallow the evidence. And I find them guilty, guilty, guilty of assholery in the first degree.
That's a lot of contortion. That's all I can say.
Scumbaggery, right?
Yes, scumbaggery, most definitely. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to differentiate scumbaggery from assholery.
Little scumbaggery on the side, please, with my fries.
Well, having said all that, what else is a wide, wide world? There's a sports here. You know, we're also talking about the fact that the hockey playoffs are here. It looks like the New York Rangers are going to have a bit of a road to hoe now that it's all tied up.
They're gone.
Now, wait a minute, Gary.
Now,
Gary, when I talked with you on Saturday, you were already buying tickets for game 3 of the finals. And now it's over?
Wait, the reason, okay. I'm going to tell you the reason why I say this.
Okay.
The third period of that game, I have never seen a team quit like that. The Rangers quit.
They quit?
They quit.
That's a strong word, Gary.
Look, when you go into the third period, you do everything possible to win that game, correct?
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
These moves did not play their first line.
Gary, you don't think the Tampa Bay defense had a little something to do with that?
But
what I'm saying, look, as we won the first two games, the Rangers did everything that moved.
Sure. You're going to be a little bit more hyped because, But see, here's the thing, okay. What hasn't happened yet in this series? But what hasn't happened in this series yet?
Home team has not won.
This is a team win.
It's the home.
Home team is out there.
Basically, the home team has yet to lose. So basically, the Rangers held serve in game two. That's why I'm saying, look, Gary, you know it takes everything in my physical, mental being to say anything nice about, you know, the other team that plays on 5th and
33rd. I like the Rangers, but the way they played a couple of days ago, shame on them.
Now, if they come back and win this series, which they could very easily do.
Well, that's why all I'm saying is,
and again, Mike, don't, you know, if you repeat this, I'll have to kill you. don't kill them yet. They got, you know, they basically got three chances to win two games, and two of the games are going to be in New York.
True.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
They got to prove it to me now.
I'll just say we'll see because I have to stop saying something nice about them because I'm starting to my feet are starting to swell when I say that. So I'm trying.
I have to say something nice about the brothers in hockey anyway for all of us here on the thread, because what's really important is that we have gotten to the point where it is acknowledged that we do everything well. And when I say everything, I mean everything well. Now, if Tampa holds serve, then Pierre-Edouard Belmar will be on Stanley Cup. If the Rangers win, then Keandre Miller and Ryan Reeves will be on Stanley's Cup. If Colorado wins, Nazem Kadri will be on the Cup. The brothers are there. The brothers are there to stay. And see, like Fred says, we have to tell our own stories. That means hockey, too. I can remember when we first started out, and I was lucky enough to get Beatrice Carnegie, Herb Carnegie's daughter, as our guest for our first show. And when I found out about Herb Carnegie and his future aces and the fact that they made him break down and cry because they would not recognize his blackness and his contribution to sport, that really hurt me. And the fact that we were able to say something about it made me feel a lot better. But they didn't let up off the premise that we didn't want to tell y'all. They didn't want to tell us. And that's why, like Fred says, we got to tell our own stories. That's our story, too. Even if they wasn't down south or up north or even in the States, that's our story, because those brothers were there in the 1900s playing and scoring and playing defense and doing all that other good shit. Hockey is ours, just like we claim everything else. And we have black people who are the best at it, just like everybody else. And so
Mike, is Orlando still on the line?
No, he's not.
Oh, shit. I had a question for him. That's all right. Go ahead. Keep going.
What is the question?
No, same thing. Well, he's been doing radio with me at schools, and I want to know if he had any openers, because we already know that the CAA is going to kick in with Hampton, A&T, and Howard next year.
Howard has made it official, or is it still in the talking stages?
Well, the word on the street is in the talking stage, but the word on the street, they're gone. And see, what I'm really looking forward to is the media day for the MEAC, because I can't wait to see the response of the new commissioner, because she really got her hands full.
I hope for her sake and for their sake that they do have a plan C and D worked out along the way there.
They're gonna need more than A, B, and C. They're gonna need a whole damn alphabet.
But I'm already conceded it, A, and B. I'm just saying I hope they have a plan C and D at this point in time right now.
I heard Notre Dame might join.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Can you hear us, Patrick?
Live and living colors, fellas.
Patrick has an announcement.
Leave Deshaun Watson alone, man. Every time I look, there's a new chick come in here. Come on, bro. What's up?
They've known it all the time. It's just coming out. That's all. And they're finally going to sue the Houston Texans too. So.
What's funny now, Patrick, and a friend of mine was saying, it's almost become an infomercial in the sense where are you 15 to 25 years old and live in the Houston area and have and know Deshaun Watson? You may be eligible for comfort for financial compensation.
You may be eligible for
I got to say I am not in any way deterring the fact that somebody might have become uncomfortable in his presence based on the situation. But like I said before, it didn't come out until he said, "I won't be treated."
and the ink dried on his contract.
Really. And as a key, my boy who's a law professor and ex judge said, when they said he's not, he said a key to it, he has been criminally charged.
Hey, but Patrick Baker Mayfield, I know he hot right now. His shit can't go nowhere.
About what?
He can't get traded. He can't do shit.
He should be happy.
The boy ain't shit.
Hey, the boy ain't shit. That's what he should be happy about, the fact that he ain't shit.
Thank you.
He ain't still on fucking roster. You know? The resentment is even stronger coming from Baker Mayfield, knowing that somebody's better than him. My mother used to always tell me somebody has got somebody else's number. Always. As good as you think you are, somebody's out there that's better than you. And he's looking dead in the mirror, and he's better. And it bugs the fuck out of him that not only is he better, he's blacker. And we know what that combination of resentment can do. He is pissed.
And that white power.
I'll say this. I don't know about you other gentlemen, but over the years in my professional life, I've been fired or asked to leave. But when it happened, did I get $19 million? Oh, that's a
hell no.
Speaking of fraud, probably didn't even get
$19
for that matter.
Yeah, but Patrick, speaking of fraud, Jack Del Rio and my man Brian Mitchell going off. How in the ham sandwich can these football players, black players, look at this guy and say, why in the fuck should we play for you with your Trump-ass racist ass?
And now he said, well, I didn't mean that.
What?
Because, yeah.
When did he walk that back?
He walked it back really soon.
Reggie, think of backtracking like, you know, Kenny Houston, Deion Sanders, Greg Owens, you know, all of them. That's how much he backtracked. You know, he was, you know.
And Revis Allen, my man, Revis.
Put it this way. He could start in Washington secondary right now, strictly just on backup drills.
And maybe he's in the wrong place, the wrong time, and sad to say, and he was a Southern Cal guy. That's gonna have backlashes undercurrent that he ain't really ready for.
That's right.
But see, in a way, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, in a way I'm sort of glad all of this stuff is coming up because now we know exactly where people stand because, see, that's the thing.
These MAGA folks,
I mean, this is like white privilege and white supremacy to the nth power, and they literally it's defiance, it's arrogance, it's all that, but the thing is it also shows their cowardness too, because when someone calls them out on their stuff, they're so quick to back down, and even the ones that sort of are defiant to the end. That end is not pretty. It's like the last days of Nixon ugly.
And the trick about it, Tony, just to carry on what you're saying is that this is not 1959 or 60. These young brothers see that, and they're gonna respond to it in some kind of way. And what he really doesn't understand how the backlash and the undercurrent of what can happen. But you'll find out.
You know what? It all comes down to one word: accountability. More than anything else. And see, that's the whole deal with a lot of these guys. And it goes back to the slavery days, it goes back to the days in the Klan and the reason why the Klan was formed, you know, the White Citizens Committee in the South, or the Proud Boys, or what have you. It's nothing new under the sun. It's just packaged differently. They have access to the internet as well, and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they literally, you know, they literally think that they can't, they can go under the radar. And see,
that's right.
In many ways, pre-internet and pre-social media was their, you know, what to their advantage because they could be like a thief in the night. But so many of them now want to put their mug out there, and they want to make sure that, and, you know, because see, and I don't want to drift off too much, but I just want to just say, one of the things that people forget that Dr. King did, Dr. King exposed, you know, he used TV and the media to his advantage in the sense of allowing folks to show themselves. And remember, he did this long before you had the red, white, red, long before you had social media.
You're coming a little fuzzy.
Okay, I'm sorry. But he did this long before we had all of this quote-unquote sophisticated media. But see, the one thing that rings true, whether you have the internet or not, it's the accountability. And calling people out on their account. Because that's why tomorrow's whatever that's going to be tomorrow in D.C., there's not going to, you know, if we knew that they were going to hold them accountable, we might go into this thinking, okay, maybe they will do something. But in our heart of hearts, we know that there's not going to be any accountability tomorrow. And therein lies the problem. It's the lack of accountability. And this is whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats. It's a lack of accountability. That's the biggest problem. I don't know. I think I'm speaking for everybody when I say that, because end of the day, who is going to be held accountable for this?
Yes.
And Jenny, I agree 100% because of the fact that I'm tired of hearing all the accusations. Somebody
exactly.
It don't take 2 years to know, when you all know who did it, how did it, what's going on, and best put by the gentleman, I forgot the brother's name on top of my head, who's heading the January 6th committee. He says,
exactly.
You really don't know how close we came to end the democracy.
That
should shut everybody up.
And to try to bring it full circle, and I know it might be a bit of a stretch, but you know, it goes back to the whole Watson thing. Now all of a sudden you're gonna, you know, piecemeal this out. Now look, again, I'll say it again. If the brother did half of what he was supposed to have done, throw his ass in jail.
He's been under the jail by now.
And also the flip side, guys, again, it keeps going. Here's the undercurrent. All right. If he gets roasted, the other fires that they gotta kill, don't forget John Gruden's in the background waiting. He's in the background waiting.
It all plays out like a bad Fox movie made for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You can try to kill Watson if possible. The reason I'm not killing him is because they know that there are others out there, Anytime you think Robert Kraft was the first time. Lord, don't get me started.
No, 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 no. Go ahead, Patrick, because you're right.
I'll put this into the mix.
You know what? Deshaun Watson's contract, as grandiose as it sounds, is less than the piece of pie, meanwhile, that Cleveland receives from the National Football League. So they're playing with house money. It's not even their money, so to speak, when you consider the size of the contract. Even if it's guaranteed, he still doesn't make
guaranteed.
As much money as Cleveland
yeah.
makes when they get their TV
yeah.
share from the NFL.
Oh, please. That's a gift.
I'll say it before and I'll say it again. You have to remember, they already have season ticket holders money. They already have
mm-hmm.
the TV money.
That's why, absolutely.
And this is what, the first or second year now of the new deal?
Come on. Mm-hmm. First year.
Yeah. Because they're still at, because this year is the first year where the Amazon Prime stuff kicks in, because they basically
have
the Thursday night games. Hell, they're even allowing the mouse to flex Monday night.
The motherfucking mouse. Look at that.
Yep.
With the mouse money they're getting, they're all like fat rats in a cheese factory. Everybody's getting paid.
And let me throw a little undercurrent under the mouse getting money. You know, I think it was Erica a long time ago was saying about how subscription. He's right, subscriptions for cable is going down. But isn't it ironic they're making money now more than ever potentially with the new deals?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Look, the thing was, see, I don't know if you agree the same way, Patrick, but when cable TV really first got popular, I guess, you know, like late 70s, early 80s or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole hook was, you know, HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, and all the other stuff. But let's be honest.
Yeah.
Sports runs the train now.
Yep.
Whether it's Sunday ticket, whether it's NFL extra, I mean, MLB extra innings or NBA center court. And again,
mm-hmm.
that's just money here in the States. We're not even talking about
mm-hmm.
the international stuff. Why do you think that,
mm-hmm.
you know, why do you think they've got such a boner about the fact that they're going to be playing games overseas again?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, and the key to that, Tony, is when I hear people, particularly them as white boys, we're talking about, well, I don't watch the NBA, you know, that the game is going, you know, the game is not what it used to be. I don't watch it anymore. They don't care if we watch it anymore. Do you know how much China watches?
I talked about Lin Swan's jersey being in Germany. When they play in Germany, I bet you will not see an 88 jersey. If you do, it will be a humongous mistake on the part of who's producing the game, because they know what 88 means now. They've had years to understand the nuances and why you don't
mm-hmm.
see that. So it will be very interesting to see what happens when that German game is broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Again, like I'm saying, the platforms of money that are being made in various visuals compensate for folks not being in the stands as much, cable boxes not, you know, shrinking. They are making money in various other ways of visuals to more than compensate for some knuckleheads say, well, I don't watch the game anymore. You ain't got to. I mean,
just merely
on one stream of NBA, that's what they need. You know?
Sure.
Folks watch.
Now think about it. The NFL basically has five main sources of revenue. We talked about the TV money. We talked about the season ticket holders money. Now, don't forget the jerseys and hats and stuff like that. And again, don't forget this version is the Beavis and Butthead, otherwise known as FanDuel and DraftKings.
That's right.
So just those five entities alone, they could just, I mean, literally, look, they told you in 87. We could put...
You're not even talking about underground money.
But I'm saying, they told you in 87, we'll put anybody in a Philly jersey or a Kansas City jersey or a Denver jersey, and y'all will watch it.
Yeah.
Mike, let me tell you something. Today, here's a classic case. Today, the Denver Broncos were sold for $4.6 billion. They were sold to the Walton. Now, everybody knows who Sam Walton is, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
But here's the trick.
Attention, Walmart shoppers.
Here's the trick. But people, you know, from my years and being around professional teams, and it's like I say, I believe in the history behind the history. That's what scares a lot of people.
Come on.
Well, yes, it was sold for $4.6 billion a day to Sam Walton's son, from the family members, right?
Yeah.
All right? But what you don't know, Ann Walton is married to a guy named Stan Kroenke.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Do you know who he is?
Oh, he just happens to be the owner of your Los Angeles Rams and soccer team overseas.
Now, within that, here's the interesting part. This guy was a guy given to, because of his excellence on the field, he was given 15% of the team, $15 million. Pick a long story.
Wow.
If he had kept the money in the line that Bolden wanted him to keep it, it would have worked out for him. But he got greedy. And because of the sale today, he lost over $900 million. You know who that is?
How?
John Elway.
Oh.
Because
I know his hands really hurt now.
Because the way he structured that $15 million, instead of do what Bolin said, he wanted to do something else. So when the sale was made, they made over he lost over $900 million. My point,
Patrick,
is,
allow me to finish the sentence. Because of this deal, if Russell takes them to the playoffs, his revised contract will make him the highest paid athlete in sports to be making $50 million a season.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Does that mean more dresses for his wife?
To make billions.
Hey, does that mean more dresses for his wife or more studio time? What does that mean? That means more Walmart commercials.
Both.
Well, Walmart's a billion-dollar industry.
Well, my point is, when people talk about, you know, 22, my real estate.
Prices just went up. They're up for the prices at Walmart right now.
The owner of Amazon, they're
raising prices right now.
Hey Patrick, do you think Amazon looking at buying the Washington the Generals?
Oh yes.
Commanders, wherever they are.
Oh yeah. Look at it this way. Who owns the Washington Post? You get to watch. They've already paid for the new land for the potential new stadium, right?
Oh,
damn!
$200 million. Yeah.
Thank you. That's seed money. That's planting. It ain't building nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. Everything says correct. So money's being made all around again. It's the circle of how the money is shared and produced and maintained and will evolve. When I say they don't care, they're going to make money anyhow.
Mm-hmm. See,
Hey, Patrick, your thoughts on cocoa grass.
Y'all, y'all laughed at the Wu-Tang Clan when they said cash money rules everything around us years ago. But you know,
yeah,
right.
That's
right.
Hey, yeah, hey, Patrick, your thoughts on Coco? How you think she's going to be down in the future?
Oh, she'll be okay. Hey, she's a young girl. She'll survive, man. I'm just hoping that the people just stay with her, and she doesn't get get lost in the fact that I haven't jumped to the area of the stakes of where I want to be yet. Give her time. Take it.
Yeah,
you
think she'll be most okay.
That's all.
Yes,
she'll be okay, man. She's
just by herself. She's following the Williams blueprint because she's doing just enough to be out there. They're still allowing. Put it this way, we haven't seen her. We haven't seen her mugshot stealing stuff from Walmart.
Yes,
her parents didn't quit. Her parents didn't quit their jobs and make her the breadwinner of the family.
Thank you.
I think Coco and
our little friend from Japan will form a doubles combination, and they will do what the Williams sisters did. They will dominate.
I hope so.
Once they get on the same page.
Hey, but Patrick, I got to ask a question about Maria Taylor, who used to be with ESPN, and now she's the face of NBC Sports. Will you look at her future?
Well, Maria's just doing well, but where Maria got lost in the fact that I had to, hopefully she's got over her menstrual period and thinking that she can make as much as Stephen A. I'm worth as much as he was. What? Girl, stop.
Back up. Say what now?
Oh, she thought she should be paid as much as Stephen A. before she left NBC. And they said, you need to get over your menstrual period and come to reality.
Wow.
And that's another reason she signed with NBC. But I think she's very good, and I have no problem with it. You know, she's establishing they've established a point of where she could be looked at, and that's fine. One thing I will say, and I will brag about it to this very day, there was someone 2 years ago that came on TV. I saw them for the first time just give a report on a game, and I said, if something happens, that person is going to be the face of programming or a particular field of play that's going to shine. And it happened when the young lady from Oakland, she had the NBA broadcast now. Well, you know, I forgot what's her name. She's fine as hell, too. Anyway.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
I know who you're talking about, I can't think of her name either. Now if I see her, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I know you. I know
what network is she on?
She had the ESPN. She has the NBA show. She took over for the white woman that got fired, made the dumbass remark. Anyway, lastly, I'll say this. She won an Emmy Award in her first year hosting the show.
Yes.
I said it was going to happen.
Yeah. And the thing about that is if you really think about it, she's in many ways, she is what Brian Gumbel was to the network way back in the day when he was doing everything. Before today, and again, don't think that's not in the cards for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah. Well, you should have known something when they promoted the playoffs. Who was the first face they saw in here? Hers. When Allstate promoted their latest commercial. All right. She was on the face. So she's doing. She's making money, and she's excellent. She started out as a reporter.
Well, think about it. She's already done an Olympics, Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't. they have, like I said, she is basically Brian. She is basically doing Brian Gumbel's old job from back in the day when he was everywhere. And you know, the thing is, see, here's the thing. I have no problem saying, growing up, Brian Gumbel was and still is one of my professional idols in the industry. And the thing about it is, there's some, you know, there's some girl somewhere in Florida or in New York or in Cali or in Jersey or whatever that's looking at Maria and saying, damn, I want to do that.
And what? And Tony, you're correct, because what people don't know, it's a lot around the industry. Brian Gumbel does some stuff in terms of elevating black broadcasters that folk don't really understand. One day I'll tell you about it. I mean, of course, the image of was projected. There's some things that folks, you know, have a problem with. But I know there's some stuff he stood up for that got a bunch of folks some jobs that need to talk about it, and they ain't.
Look. The 70, you know, the 79 final, the NCAA final, you know, Magic and Bird, Indiana State versus Michigan State. I graduated from high school in 1980, and basically, when I was going into my senior year, I was routinely eating from that peanut butter and knucklehead sandwich that so many kids do at that age. I saw Bryant, and there was another guy, semi-local. I don't know if you remember a guy that was based out of Boston and also worked in New York by the name of Jimmy Myers. Jimmy, Jimmy, I was lucky enough to say Jimmy is also a friend as well. Those guys, you know, basically after I saw them two guys, that's when I basically said to myself, yeah, I think I'd like to do this. And again, I know I wasn't the only one. I know I wasn't the only one that saw that. And see, what's great now is now you've got, you know, sisters that are paving the way. Because look. From Jane Kennedy, thank you, Lord. To Pam Oliver. Yeah. Thank you two times, Lord. It's been great. That's the one thing, seeing that circle of life, so to speak, move. That's what keeps me going.
The young woman on back, what's her name? McNutt on ESPN now.
She actually does stuff on MSG too. She's another former athlete as well. So you know, but yeah, man, it's good to see it. It's good to see it.
Mike, I want to ask this question, and I know it's going to stir some interest of an individual I know is going to be fired up as soon as I mention it. But earlier this week, I was doing some research on something, and a friend told me you need to look at this, and the headline was, Earl dishes on Stephen Curry, Pistol Pete, and prepping kids with a career in basketball.
Yeah,
Earl Monroe. Basically, Earl Monroe called out Stephon, and he called out Pete Maravich. He said he was good or better than both of them. And folks said, really? But what they didn't understand, they were comparing, looking at Earl as a shooter, looking at Stephon as a shooter only. Yeah. Earl was a basketball player who had the short-range games that changed the game. And folks looking at three-point shots and how the game was played and marketed today, they don't really know how good the Pearl was or Jesus was on the court.
Even Walt Frazier admitted that there was no way he could touch Earl. When Earl came to the Knicks, he didn't know what the hell he was going to do.
There you because go. He knew that Earl was the man. And Earl adapted and adjusted his game. They got the ring. And it was clearly, he got two rings. And it was clearly a case of, you know what? I'm the finishing piece. I'm the real straw that stirs the drink. He didn't have to say it like Reggie. But Frazier knew, give him credit for that. And because of that, they functioned well as a team. And they functioned well as a unit. Everybody took their cue off of Earl. And people are lax to say that. For all the shit they want to say about Maravich, Maravich destroyed the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks had a good team. Maravich destroyed it with his histrionics because they had Jumpin' Joe Caldwell, Zelmo Beatty, Lou Hudson. Mm-hmm. He had three of the best players in the league, and they
he's
still had the low 500 record. Yes.
How do you do that? For 71 points and lose the game.
There you go.
Well, he scored 16 against the Knicks in the Garden. But again, mm-hmm. you know, when Earl said I was good, better than both of them. They didn't understand
exactly.
that. You know, and again, like
no.
I said, Stephon changed the game by shooting. I give him credit 100%. But
yeah.
Earl changed the game to how to play, taking his style, the playground style, and amplify it in the NBA that folks today don't give him credit for.
No, they don't. And I saw him when he was Black Jesus in the Baker League in a couple of games.
Excuse me.
Nobody knew.
Is Jesus in any other color? But black? No, that's not Steph.
Come on. Come on. I'm telling you. If anybody had seen him play like that, they'd have lost their damn mind. And we all know how great the players were at the Rucker. But when he did his thing over in the Baker League, they were like, everybody was just in awe. It was like, yes, this is the man. And you can hear the music in the background with the wah-wah pedals and everything. Earl was that and then some. You know, so anybody who doesn't understand it, have a seat and listen. Because as soon as you open your mouth, you're wrong. And as I say that, Patrick, let me toss this back to you because as we were talking about Watson, you know from being an alum at Ohio State, How much money the school makes in a weekend when there's a big game? Anywhere from $15 to $20 million. Can you imagine Cleveland against Pittsburgh or Cleveland against Cincinnati, national television, sold out? You know, we're not even talking TV money, just the actual take from the gate. It's humongous.
Let me say this. I would call FanDuel and DraftKings and put the line on betting on the fights in the stands. That you would really. I'm playing.
The bet is not will there be fights. The bet is how many.
There you go, Chris. 150%.
Yep. That's a lot of kibble in the dog pound.
Fred, I think you might be putting somebody on the line for that game, making some money. That would be the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the score of the game.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it would be outrageous. As a matter of fact, there are some people who are looking for that to happen, or some who don't want it to happen because of the situation with Watson. Yes, it would be intriguing to say money would flow in ways that you can't possibly imagine, you know.
For real.
You're 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. Like major cash, gentlemen. As we go into this season coming up, now that all the bumps and bruises have been dealt regarding whatever they had to go through, the labor management issue is still up in the air, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 2023
mm-hmm.
when the contract changes there? I thought that the contract was up for renewal this year.
Which sport is this?
NFL?
The Players Union.
NFL.
No,
the NFL still got another, like, 6 years, don't they?
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the NFL's good. NFL's good.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's actually, there's actually this was about as blissful it's been since the old Upshaw and Taglia Blue days, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I think what's emblematic is that with the contract was signed yesterday with the brother from L.A. You know, I'm glad he got it. You know what? Because the reason I was happy that he got it is the fact when you construct a team and the money that they make, stop. And I'm tired of it. That's why I can't watch ESPN in the morning. Quarterback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stop putting this money in these mediocre, tired-ass, limited athletes called quarterbacks to make them the focal point of the team. They are not the most important player of the team.
But see, Patrick, see, the thing is, it's their last grasp of white supremacy because, see,
there it is.
You got to remember, between Mahomes, Jackson, Watson, Wilson, Prescott, all of them. You know, remember when basically over a third of your starters 2 years ago were black, they literally peed on themselves
the
in public. Yes.
That's right.
No matter how many shitty movies they make about him with Tom Hanks. Thank you very much.
That's right. Thank you.
That's the thing. They still, what does Mike say all the time? The hero still has to be white. You know? There's a reason why that they have to have John Wayne right off into the sunset instead of Kumbon
Mike
Little.
With the follow-up, the boy ain't shit.
It all flows, man.
In the morning, when I'm looking, to get the day started, to see how, you know, to get a feel of what's happening, the constant push on what the quarterback did. I don't hear about Aaron Rodgers in May. I don't hear nothing about
what Patrick,
thank you.
I could kill that.
Patrick, I'm going to tell you like I told Reggie, you got to turn them off because they're not going to change. Because, see,
I'm in my 12-step program, Patrick. I'm in the 12-step program. And it's been 6 years.
And Patrick, and it was only 5 steps to start off.
Hey, and I'm in my 6th year. And I still can't get it right. I'm in my 6th year.
Look, I get it because you want to get that information and what have you. But they're never – look, there is a – put it this way. There is a better chance of Spike Lee doing a 6-part series on the Holocaust before they change their mind.
I'm having Herschel Walker flashbacks.
I was about to turn my senior class, but I didn't graduate. Keep dancing, Herschel. Keep dancing. That's all I'm going to say. Keep dancing, Herschel.
Get them taps working.
The end of frustration, I know how these shows are produced. I know how much money they put. I mean, you can't find nothing else better than that to talk about. Really?
No, they don't. Look, you know what? It was a series of things for me. I'll give you a perfect example. I get an alert. Don Shula has passed away. Oh, okay. I'm going to go to the NFL Network. I turn to the NFL Network, and do you know what these four fools were talking about? Fantasy football. Now,
that's right.
I'm sure that when the story first broke, they came on with it. But arguably one of your Mount Rushmore guys in coaching has passed on, and you are talking about a motherfucking fantasy.
They're talking about what's really important to them.
Yes.
I mean, my God! I understand the money that's generated, and I can hear Cream makes the money in the background as I'm watching, but I'm like, damn! Does at some point, when does it end? When does it end, man? And see, I just got tired. I got tired of waiting. This way, when I think it was Matthew Perry. It might have been somebody else. But when they were talking, when they were analyzing quarterbacks in the pregame show, when they said, well, so-and-so, and I want to say it was Vince Young, so-and-so is not really an elite quarterback because he doesn't put up good fantasy league numbers. Now, where was somebody to grab that fool by his face and say, what?
And bitch slapping his baby powder. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. You're basically saying because he doesn't play good Strat-O-Matic baseball or Strat-O-Matic football or Strat-O-Matic basketball,
he is not an elite player.
I mean, think about it. It's no longer a joke now. They showed a graphic the other day. Players who've had MVP vote, who've had more MVP votes during their career than Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to say
you don't even want to know who's on that list. You don't even want to know who's on that list.
You need a shut the fuck up moment, like when Chris Carter did the Hasselbeck when he said, "Name me 32 quarterbacks better than Michael Vick," because he was getting ready to go into Vick. This is with the height of him fucking with Lassie, and when he said, "Name me 32 quarterbacks better than Michael Vick," it was like he was totally embarrassed. He wasn't ready for it. He thought Chris was going to back him up, and he shut the fuck up. I mean, it was silence for a good 10 seconds. I mean, you know, by dead air, that's the equivalent of, oh, my God. So we know doggone well what time it was, and we know what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
So as we end all this up,
And Mike, I just want to preface it. I'm not trying to call out Patrick or call out Reggie when I do that. But because see, I understand that because you want to get, you know,
I'm in the 16th stuff program, buddy. Now let me have my 16th stuff program and leave me alone.
But the thing is,
Hennessy, please, bartender.
The thing is, I do it.
And I don't drink.
I do it, really. The thing is, I do it strictly out of love because, see, the thing is, look, information is power. Information is power. And these guys and the thing about it is they have basically the same resources we have. And they refuse to use them. Or either they use them when it's to their...
Hey, T, Draymond Green on line two.
But you know what? That's why these fuckers are tools, because I remember when Seattle went back-to-back and this hack wrote a piece about how Russell Wilson is the worst quarterback in the Super Bowl era. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy smoking? I mean, there was
and I heard this soliloquy on radio by Mike Francesa.
Talking about
Francesa wasn't kissing numbers because, you know, Francesa got his job because he was a researcher for CBS. That's how he got information that he can mold into making you think that a person is a particular level because numbers that he could research, right? And he said that Russell Wilson is not one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Contrary to a popular belief of an old mouse show, numbers do fucking lie. Okay.
Yeah, for real.
Yes.
Numbers
do
freaking lie. They do. And here's the thing. It's like with the analytics and all the because I was talking with someone on another show earlier this week. Analytics in and of itself is fine. I don't have a problem with them in and of itself, numbers or whatever. But you can't just do everything off of numbers. Because if you're going to do it, if it's all numbers, then it's basically Stratomatic sports. And Stratomatic sports is okay if you're a 12-year-old trying to learn the game. But if you're but see, when you become, as Cedric the Entertainer said, a grown ass man or a grown ass woman, you wanna upgrade. That's all. And see, the biggest problem that I have with a lot of the pre-game shows and the post-game shows and all the other stuff is they're not really telling you more than what you already know. And I don't say that to be arrogant. I just say if you're into the sports like most people are who have the love for it like we all do, you've got to look. You know, if a day goes by that I don't read a MetBox score or listen to another ridiculous Knick trade rumor, I'm like, I must have didn't do anything today.
Yeah.
But you take it in the context of what it is. And see, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Tony, I'll say this: what people may not be able to want to dissect. But today I had my crew. We did a story. My best interns. We did a great job today, I must say. They did a story on three different schools, kids who were going to Florida to compete in various levels in Disney on esports.
Oh, okay.
What you said, let me give you a connection. What you said about breaking down and dissecting sports and numbers is directly linked to esports in terms of people playing games and how you establish numbers.
I'm not going
into a length, but if you're not, I had to learn the esports. I don't from my students, but when you start breaking it down, there are a lot of kids who don't play but have a sports mindset and competition with numbers
and here's the crazy thing. We always talk about the low numbers of brothers playing ball in Major League Baseball. There's probably we're saying that there's like 7% of brothers are in Major League Baseball rosters as of right now. There's probably, I'll say, 60% black who only identify with baseball through EA Sports. They probably haven't seen this. If they probably know who Mike Trout is. They probably know maybe who Pete Alonso is. They probably know who Judge is. But but if you ask them who's Bob Gibson, Miss Gibson's son, that's basically they don't know anything beyond that. They know of just the immediate and what have you. And again, fundamentally, there's nothing wrong. Because, see, my thing has always been if you love a certain thing or what have you, you're always going to follow it, its history. That's my thinking. That's just me. But I like to think that with some of these kids, especially when you realize the kind of information highway that's out here now, I would think that they would want to take it to the next level. Now, look, there are just as many out there that want to bite on the same peanut butter and knucklehead sandwich that I was biting on, 40, 50 years ago. But that being said, when you've got more of this, again, we're in this information society, but we still deal with bullshit.
Impact of the game is more important than an election game.
That's right. Impact of the game is more important, but the passing on of white supremacy is more important because in the game people play, They still want to prove that they're better. And we know different, but that doesn't stop the propaganda from saying otherwise. And that's pretty much a wrap up of the kind of horse shit we're going to hear when these cameras come on tomorrow in the courtroom. The meeting of the Liars Club will convene, and it'll be business as usual until the commercial comes in, and that little asshole J.J. Walker will talk about how you can get money for the Social Security problem. Anyway, I think that puts us in a position for final thoughts. Reggie, lead us off, if you will.
Well, it's interesting. They have something called the First Lady. They have Roosevelt during that time was gay, and I'm still in shock. But she wasn't afraid to fly with the Tuskegee Airmen, even though her girlfriend was drinking bourbon and lickety split, if you know what I mean. Hey,
I've actually been watching that, Reg. It's been pretty good.
Reggie, I can just imagine. Go on.
Oh, but also we have Mrs. Ford, who never saw a drink she never turned down. And I mean, she was a lush. She even called old man Ford being a pimp. Said, baby, I got to go out of town this weekend. Retire, and you got to go out of town again this week? And I said, pimping ain't easy. But homeboy was simple.
I keep hearing people say it ain't easy, but people still doing it. So I mean, you know, somebody's lying.
That's
all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then there's Michelle Obama and the daughters. Isn't it interesting that when young black men were getting shot and brutalized by the police, Barack Obama was basically like Roosevelt, my hands are tied, there's nothing I can do. And then there's one scene where Michelle tells Barack, they call us niggas all the time, so let us be the niggas that they want. And she goes down to Tuskegee and does the commencement speech. And I had to say one thing. She made it black could be. I'm trying to give Barack Obama the opportunity to show that he's a strong man, but every time I'm looking at it, it's like Michelle was the one that's prodding his ass to look like he was black. It makes you wonder about these politicians, and I'm just really wondering, again, with Jack Del Rio acting a fool, will some of these black players trying to stand up and have the balls to say,
Reg, he ain't acting now. Let's be perfectly clear. He ain't acting.
That's right.
Donald Trump all the way.
Yes, he is.
My thoughts.
There you go, Reggie. Nice one. Patrick.
Reggie, you forgot one of the black first lady, Jackie Onassis, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway.
That's why they didn't put her in there. That's why they didn't put her in there.
That's right.
We're talking about the black president, Eisenhower. Oh, I'm sorry.
The Babe Ruth of the White House. All right.
Yeah. There you go. I'm telling y'all. My focus on information of the past is based on the history behind the history.
Happy birthday to you.
I'll say this. Last week, I want to repeat the idea of Ryan Day, Ohio State, going to some business people in Columbia and saying, look here, guys, we need to raise $13 million for the Buckeyes this year. So someone told me... for this year's team, they think that's outrageous. And this was my response. I've connected with that university close to 50 years.
All right.
And let's take from the time I got there to now. I said this, and when I left Columbus in 81, I had an opportunity to be in a position to work with the Ohio Tourist and Committee for Columbus. We bring conventions in. I was up for an executive position with that, but I didn't get it, but that's okay. That's why I came back to Jersey. But let me say this. Let's count the money that Ohio State football is made from the time I got there to today, it will be in the billions, and that's a low number.
There you
and
go.
You're going to ask me or ask anybody that they think it's an insult that your team has to pay 13 men? The annual budget for USC now is going up to $70 million for players.
Wow.
It's the reality of the world. And I'll leave it at that.
Y'all still behind Alabama as far as payroll.
70, no.
70,
no, no,
70 seems
no.
kind of low.
The highest one out there now is USC.
Yeah, they're trying to compete.
There's gold in them there hills.
Yeah, gold, mm-hmm. gold and movie stars and anybody else who wants USC back and they're willing to pay for it. Other schools are struggling. I'm just saying, you're
good Lord.
Back.
Good Lord. Hey. Good Lord, they're gonna bring Granny and Ellie Mae back on all this mess, man.
There's gold. Tennessee, black gold.
I want to ask Fred. There's this runner in A&T. I think he's running the 220. You know, the word is that he might not be there next year because guess what?
Tennessee
can outbid him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's a damn shame. Well,
some of them are looking at leaving because the coach is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the head coach is going to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh. So, yeah, still delivered. He's already gone.
You know, it's questionable whether or not the assistant or whoever becomes head coach can hang on to both men and women. Because I think they got a couple of seniors coming up this year. I think Junior is a junior this year. He may or may not be there. He may go with his dad because they do have that option. I call it the Underground Railroad for college athletics. They have that option for other sports now too.
Yeah. No, wow. What is worth Boston 114, the Warriors. Was it 102 with about a minute and 50 to go? And Draymond Green was fouled out. No, he didn't get thrown out. He fouled out.
All right.
Put it this way. Most bullies don't like to be bullied. That's all I'll say on that.
There you go.
No
That's
question.
True.
Especially tonight.
Professor, throw something in the pot.
Well, one thing that, you know, just going over our discussion tonight, I'm not going to pick on you all about being liberals and none of that stuff too much, but you know, one of the things that I'm being reminded of is there's a lot of times some people I get on people all the time. You don't read. I mentioned earlier that I was talking to some people today, and I was saying, so y'all need to read some more. You know, quit reading these novels, watching these soap operas. Read some history, read some science, read something different. In most cases, read something read something different than what you read.
Thank you.
Because you know, most people who are dumb, meaning they don't know, is because of courses they made. And when they tell me, well, you read the Bible, yeah. You read these kind of books, yeah. Why? There's two things basically I refuse to read. One, computer books. Two, mechanical books. Beyond that, I read most anything. And then if it's something I need to know, hey, I read. I can read 2,500 words a minute. So, you know, I can get through that. Secondly, I want to say goodbye to one of the sweetest women I ever met in my life. We met 51 years ago as freshman orientation business down the state. Cheryl Evans, Big Cheryl as we called her. But she left us a few days ago. She was one of the class leaders. I didn't want to be directly involved in a lot of stuff. But when chips were down, she went, okay, Fred, you up.
Mm-hmm.
I need your help with this. And we had a beautiful relationship. She left us about a little over a week ago. And finally, on a bright spot, for those who don't know, one of the greatest basketball players who ever dribbled a ball was named Cleo Hill Sr. A few weeks ago, the place where he coached for 47 years, Essex County Community College, where he won almost 500 games, they named the floor, the court after him, as well as their physical education center.
There you go.
For those who don't know who Cleo Hill was the first black player to be blackballed out of the NBA. His son is the head coach at Winston-Salem State now. He's not one of those delusional kids, you know. No, he knows his dad was one of the greatest ball players. And in the words of Big House, Cleo would have took Earl's lunch. And Earl was still one of the greatest players who ever played at Winston anywhere else. And it's a term of respect, I call it, because Earl knows that he was not the greatest ever to play at Winston-Salem State. He did play on the best team. Cleo unfortunately had a couple of guys who would actually free him. And it's the same thing happened to him when he went to the NBA. There's three guys in the Hall of Fame that shouldn't be in there. And for no other reason, they were just pure unadulterated crackers. And they did all they could to get him. They got him cut, and they got his coach fired. Anyway, Cleo is now a permanent part of New Jersey history at SF County
College. Yes. Yeah.
Yes,
indeed.
Yep. Oh, by the way, Fred, have you got any information? Have they sent any meeting information on you with the Howard Morehouse game and up in Jersey? Oh, you got anything? They seen anything?
I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask that because we've been trying to get some things ready for that game. And
yeah, actually, I'm hoping
slow.
To see all y'all there.
Are you talking about
buying dinner?
Are you talking about football or basketball?
The football game. It's going to be at MetLife Stadium.
That's right.
Because
everybody show up at the game in the press box, I'm buying dinner. No doubt.
Something tells me you might have to call the schools because right now a lot of the SIDs are, matter of fact, this is decided time of the year. And this is that time of year SIDs disappear.
Yeah, because the guy, the process of I traditionally went through getting stem from MetLife, they I'm going, wait a minute, this coming, they ain't there? What the hell is going on? So, all right.
Yeah, really.
Gotcha.
Well, it's coming. We'll keep an eye on it. www.blackheadinterview.com. Books, bric-a-brac, other good shit. Thank you, Professor. Big G, come on in, throw something in the pot as the rain's coming down.
This past week, the Queen of Philadelphia TV passed away. KYW TV Philadelphia Tales Dream.
Yeah.
35-40 years ago, was the first African American reporter in the Philadelphia area.
Right on.
The Queen of Philadelphia TV and radio. I salute Trudy. I remember as a kid watching this when I was in my late 9, 10, 11 years old. Oh, she's a cool lady. So, to the Haynes family, my blessings to KYW TV.
Ashe.
As we go to the ancestors, there we go, 1 o'clock Saturday, and we will be doing
Rhythm and Code Saturdays, 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern. Big T, something for the pot, if you please.
You know, I usually don't wallow in the muck and the mire.
No, you would never do that.
I know. No, not at all. Matter of fact, my nose just hit me in my own eye now after saying that. So,
thank you.
But all of a sudden now, all my quote unquote Yankee fan friends keep,
oh Lord,
you know, messing with me and all. See, I, you know, now fundamentally, I'm a peaceful man. I'm not a make love not war sort of deal. But you know, my thing is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've never started a fight. I've ended a few, but I've never started a fight at all. Now, but what I'm getting a lot of now is the most recent one, and I had a little fun with him, and then he just says, "So how does it feel to be the second best team in New York?" And I said, "I don't know. Why don't you tell me?" But I'm like, look, y'all, it's a regular season. You know, I got folks already trying to, you know, buy tickets for games 3 and 4 in the World Series. Y'all noticed that they're down 11-0 in San Diego tonight?
Come on.
Take a step back.
They're getting the Gasthaus Wheeler treatment. That's right.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I believe Nate Colbert and Cito Gaston got hits tonight. That's how crazy it got down there. But I mean, look, let this thing play out before you know you start putting in bursts and all this other stuff. And matter of fact, I'll say directly to my Yankee fans. Look, right now it's a three-team race, and the team that gets the better pitching will win that division. And if Toronto is able to get themselves a pitcher or two, it's a wrap. Because see, I've given up on the myth of Tampa. You know, Moneyball will take you, but so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and make you broke.
Exactly.
Hello.
And look where it's got the Vegas A's now. Well, I'm
exactly.
sorry, this is Oakland. I'm sorry, this is Oakland. Let me stop.
What did my brain say? Tell the truth and shame the devil. That's exactly right.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Tony, I've been trying to tell you, Tony. Here in Jersey, the guys I know, Yankee fans I know, Mets fans I know, I said I'm back to my what Fred said about money and fights. Oh, it's
oh,
on.
Oh man,
popcorn.
Please look.
Subway
look,
series.
I have a this way. I had somebody sent me a meme and I lost it. And it had Samuel L. Jackson. It said, "Say 27 championships again. Say 27 championships again."
Mm-hmm.
That's basically how I look at it. And it's like, okay, yeah. Look, I'll say before
and,
I say it again.
And the season continues. Yes, indeedy.
Pretty much.
Well, gentlemen.
Look. See how it plays out.
Gentlemen, we know tomorrow's going to be about a whole bunch of shit. And how they package it won't change the show.
No way, man.
And won't change the need for Charmin. You know? They start line. And we got to remind what these motherfuckers do. So I'm going to let my friend D.L. Hewley close us out.
So this Friday, Michael Dreyka, who killed Marky McLaughlin in a Stand Your Ground case in Florida, he basically claimed that he feared for his life after he started an argument with McLaughlin's pregnant girlfriend that escalated to him being pushed down and shooting Ms. McLaughlin as he backed off. And killing him. Now, initially, the police weren't going to charge Mr. Dreyka because they said it was basically stand your ground. They basically said, this is our law. It's fine. 30 days later, they saw the tape. Let me ask you something. Why did it take 30 days for you to go into the convenience store, press play, and see that a murder had occurred? That evidence always existed. Jordan Edwards, who was killed by police officer Roy Oliver, in a small town outside of Dallas, Texas, shot him going away, said the car was coming at him, the party girls were coming at him, so he had to shoot him to defend his partner. The police chief came out, gave a vociferous defense of a police officer, of Officer Oliver, come to find out after they rolled the tape, that was not true. There was a woman, a police officer in Georgia, who claimed that she was shot at by black people. Stayed in a mental hospital for 2 months. After that, she was convicted of lying. Even as we speak right now, a police officer in Los Angeles claimed to be the victim of a sniper attack. Come to find out, it's not true. Let's suffice it to say that regardless of who you are, people lie. And generally, when you're lying about a black person, people will believe it. There is nothing you could say that black people have done that someone won't believe. There is no reason that those things before, because what they'll say is, let's not jump to conclusions. But what you did was jump to a conclusion. You automatically assumed that these people were guilty or that these people were truthful. And the bottom line is, that is why we have cameras and all this observation equipment, because people lie. People in authority lie. Victims lie. It's interesting that a video is all you need to convict a suspect. If a suspect was on trial and the evidence, a video evidence was presented in court, that would be all you needed. They would go, this is clear evidence of a crime and we want a conviction, and most likely they do it. When we see police officers and other people in video, we give them the benefit of the doubt. We go, we don't know what happened before, and we don't know what happened after, and we don't know what's in this officer's mind. There is a presumption of guilt on one end and a presumption of innocence on the other. And the bottom line is, we know people lie. The first thing you should do when you're investigating a situation like this is to investigate, not to look at the optics of it. Not to already make a story up, not to already decide what's true. People lie. People lie for whatever reason. One of the things I've always had an aversion to is whenever somebody's telling me somebody was, say, sexually assaulted or molested in somebody's way, and they go, why would they lie? I don't know. That's not the gig. The gig is not to find out why they lie. The gig is to find out if they did. We live in a world right now where you will accept the very worst of us. You will say, he scared me, he attacked me. All you have to do is conjure up this notion of the angry black male, of the vicious black male, the strong black male. All you have to do is say it, and people will believe it, and they won't even walk 30 yards to look at evidence. Look, if you were in front of a convenience store, you know that most convenience stores have, what, video recording equipment, right? You see somebody shot right outside the door. He says, I did this, he's dead. Why didn't you just walk 30 yards while you were ordering your Slurpee and say, hey, give me my Slurpee, my nachos, and why don't you hit play while you're doing it? Because people believe the worst of us. They believe the best in other people. They decide the truth before they see it. And oftentimes, that is our problem. This video surveillance equipment does not exist because people don't lie. It is because they do. And if you're going to be an investigator, one of the tenets of your vocation is that you get your ass up and investigate.
There you go.
Say it. Say it.